Kevin, you talked about David Turner before, but now he's been here a few months. What separates him from other defensive tackle or line coaches you've worked with?
You know, I don't know. I think over the course of time, he's got a wealth of experience. He's got a lot of experience in the Southeastern Conference. So his familiarity with the style of play, particularly in the West, his familiarity with the region from a recruiting standpoint and relationships, you know, I think that helps anybody. You know, there's no real substitute for experience and particularly quality experience in our league. So it was a great situation for us. And timing is everything, and obviously he's continued to develop the players that have played for us in the past, and then continues to develop the young players and get them better, and in a point where we're able to rotate those guys in and out and do some things. I think you know, as I said earlier in the year, you know, productivity is something that we'd like out of that group, but that's not the maximum. I mean, the way we're playing defense, those guys have got to hold a point. They've got to stay in their gap. And some of the things that you saw a year ago that maybe from a crowd standpoint, boy, that's a great play, also came back to bite us because guys are running up the field and not doing their job. And, you know, primarily the way this defense is built right now, we'd like some productivity out of our interior defensive tackles, but more than anything else, we'd like consistency in your gap and not giving up big seams and going sideways and then holding the point at the line of scrimmage or beyond the line of scrimmage, not on our side. And that's been a big emphasis, and that's, you know, that's not easy to do in a game like that where the idea of playing defense is to make tackles and do some things as you get out of high school. But he's done a great job of creating that discipline and getting guys to buy into doing their job.
The right side, Gabe. Then we'll go to Brent.
Coach, it's a move to the SEC. You've played 2 11 o'clock games over there with two completely different results. What's the key to going over there and silencing the cowbells and getting a W?
You know, it's like anything else. You know, you just got to be ready to play. Create your own energy. You know, our team's done well on the road. So just see it for what it is. It's a SEC away game. And, you know, they've got good players. They've got fans that are passionate. They make a lot of noise and care. And that's what makes this league the best league in the country because of the talent level, the coaching, and also the fans. The fans are fabulous everywhere you go. And you know, we recognize that, but we've also got you know, we've got to worry about us. And I think these guys have done a really good job of that, focusing week to week on what's important for us to do and not necessarily on all the peripheral things that everybody else wants to talk about.
Go down front, Brent, then Ben, then Olin.
That was along the lines of my question, 21-8 away from Kyle Field. Why is it, I don't know the numbers on it and who does it and who doesn't, but no walkthrough the day before. Why is that that you
just,
don't do
I
that?
Just don't do that. I just, you know what, it's kind of like, even though he did have a walkthrough in the movie Hoosiers, but what did he say, the rim's how high? Just 10 feet high. Go ahead and measure this, measure that. You know, whether there's 100 people in the stadium or there's 100,000, you know, it's still 100 yards long and 53 1/3, not 55. Yeah, 53 1/3wide. That's an inside joke. So for those of you guys that don't know, who don't listen to local radio.
All right, Ben.
But no, just answer your question. We get a lot of things done here, indoors. We've changed our practice schedule, you know, without going into what the details of those are. But we are not a walkthrough team on Friday, and so because of those two things, because of you know that feels going to be the same, and then some paranoia that I don't want to practice at the other place and. have people watch what's going on, even though I know people don't have people out there watching practice at their stadium. I know that they don't at our place, particularly in the indoor where I can see all the doors closed. So coaches are paranoid by nature, but there's a combination of those things, and we just get on a plane, go over there, and I think there's also a little added excitement of pulling up there and waking up for some guys who've never been in those situations. And, yeah, you might get some guys that are rattled a little bit, but we've done a good job of worrying about us, and I think that whole attitude of practicing here and not worrying about what's happening until you get to the stadium is just part of how we do things.
Second row here, Ben, then Olin, you'll be next.
You know, Coach, how do you go about making sure the guys don't get caught up? And I know you've kind of mentioned this a little bit with the rankings coming out today, though, making sure they don't look at it and make a point of it.
We'll be on the practice field when they come out.
Was that by design?
No.
Regular practice
time. This is regular practice time. No, we didn't change anything because of the rankings. It's like I've said for the last, I don't know what, we've been in top 10 for, I don't know. Like I've said, if we got nothing to do with it. We got nothing to do with what goes on tonight. You know, all we can do is win the game in front of us. And if you win the game in front of you, it's like I told them yesterday, everybody wants to talk to you about this. Well, if you do this, if you do that, you guys have no control over it, right? So why should we worry about it? Here's what we got to worry about. We got to worry about winning Saturday and going to Starkville and getting a win. And if we do that and keep focused on that every week, there will be something good at the end, something really good. If you don't do that, then there's no reason to talk about it. So I think our guys understand that, when they leave me, they got phones and everybody wants to talk to them about this and that, getting, what the big picture is. But they've done a really, really good job this year of focusing not just on, there's a lot of things that have been said about this program, right? I'll start with that, all summer and all off season. Okay, so if they were listening to everything everybody else said, we wouldn't be in the position we are right now. They've done a great job, and they'll continue to.
We'll go to Olin, then to the back. Daryl.
Kevin, you've said that y'all haven't played your best game yet. When you watch the video, I wonder if you could tell us if you got a sense of just how close you are and where you're coming up short. And then also, if I could ask a second one, your thoughts on how well Coda played with Jermaine with that change. And if they played well enough, that's something y'all might continue.
It's interesting. From an evaluation standpoint, it's hard from the other night because we played so many people. And like a lot of people, we got some guys out, but we had three of our better players on defense out of the game with Miles and with Priest and with Armani, where they're probably our leading sack guy, our one of our better defenders in the back end and blitzers and our best corner so far. So to evaluate, honestly, what's going on there is a little bit difficult. Schematically, I think there's some things that we've continued to improve and tweak on in all three phases. Offensively, we were able to rest the right side, the right guard, and I think Jermaine Illuminor, to be that unselfish his senior year to move to right tackle and play the way he's played all year, which has been really, really good. But then to walk in the room and for Coach Turner to say, hey, listen, we need to give these guys a break. They're kind of hitting the wall. We're beat up. Why don't you move in there at right guard this week, and then we'll play Coda at tackle. Guys get kind of a stigma around here about playing tackle. It's been a pretty good deal for them, particularly moving forward. So I think it was really unselfish of him to move in there and play and get Coda on the field. And like I've said before, if you didn't notice him, he did a good job. And for the most part, our tackles have done that this year. We had some issues at Alabama, really inside. And so to have some different combinations, if those types of things show up again, I think shows some flexibility in our line that maybe was exposed a little bit early. I mean, exposed by Alabama. So, you know, we were moving along pretty good, though, the way it was. And that gives Coda the flexibility on both sides because he's playing both tackles, you know, that can play there. So that gives us some flexibility up front. I think you saw what Kendall Bussey can do and has been really, really wanting to get in there and play. And then, the biggest thing that I got out of it was we got – about seven guys that played winning football that had been kind of up and down but are going to be critical in the next stretch. The Larry Pryors of the world who came in and moving Donovan back to safety and him not being as active up front but being more disciplined. He couldn't have done that last year. He'd have been on every run fake there was. And the ball would have been over his head. The fact that they didn't really get over our heads down the middle of the field says a lot about the way Donovan was playing, and that's not his style. So, you know, the development of guys that are interchangeable pieces is a big deal. We've got to continue to get better offensively at what we're wanting to do, which is, you know, run and take our shots and I thought we operated pretty well on third down early in the game, and so we got to continue to get better every week, and I think that's what we've looked at everything. We look at everything Sunday. We get with the players on Monday and talk about the good stuff, but we also talk about things we got to get fixed, and that's what our practice is mostly about. You know, it's about scheme of the other team, but it's mostly about fixing our own issues and not letting them pop up again.
Go to the back, Darryl.
Coach, could you address the productivity that Nick Fitzgerald brings to that Mississippi State offense?
Yeah, I'm not shocked at all. Dan Mullen has done a great job, not a good job, a great job of developing quarterbacks. And whether it was at Utah, you know, it was at Florida, all you got to do is – you know, for you Cowboys fans, there's no mistake that, you know, Dak Prescott's a pretty good player, but he also has the experience based on where he came from that has helped him. And so this guy's no different. This is a big guy now. He's 6'5", 230. You know, the first thing that gets your attention is that, along with anybody in this league, I don't care who you're playing, that can throw for 400 and rush for 100 as a quarterback that's that big, you better start preparing for all kinds of stuff because he can spin it, he can put it down and run it, and he's a load when he runs it. And, you know, it's another one of those deals where you get later in the season and these guys are quarterbacks that are young and experienced are starting to see more and more things, and they're getting better. So, you know, it's like Dan said yesterday, you know, when your quarterback plays well, your team has a chance to win. And he played well last week. You know, they've got, Fred Ross is a guy from Tyler that, what did he catch, 11 balls against us last year? So he's excited, I know, to play the Aggies they've got weapons and a quarterback that's hot right now, and we've got to go over there and as I said, we've got to, you know, continue to play our style of defense and then create our energy and then, you know, follow it up with solid special teams and a good offensive performance.
Stay on the left side, Suzanne. Yep. If you're ready.
I'm multitasking right now. Kevin, getting back to the college football playoff rankings, do you have one guy on your staff who's assigned and covers all the bases on what has to happen? And do you carve out a practice time or a meeting time to alert the guys on, like, the weekly ratings?
No.
No, none of that?
None of that.
Okay, cool.
We'll go down front. Travis?
Your quarterbacks came in here with a little bit of a bit with suits announcing that they're going to run for president. Would they have your endorsement with Connor being president and Trevor Vice and Jake, Speaker of the House?
Yes. They're in a good place right now. It's always good when all three of them play, I put it that way. So, and the guy who played the least got the loudest applause and cheers. So he's something. But it just tells you where our team is right now. I think, you know, you've got to have some levity. You've got to have, with everything that's going on, particularly at that position, you know, there's a time to be serious and there's a time to respect the game, but there's also a time to enjoy, you know, life and enjoy your teammates. And you know, we talk about here all the time that, you know, it's not, don't keep your eye on the destination, enjoy the journey and respect what the journey's all about, and the destination will take care of itself. And that's where we are right now.
Ben, you'll wrap us up, second row.
Coach, you know, what kind of changes have you seen in Christian Kirk and how y'all use him, if any? And what do you think he's done as a sophomore this year?
You know, he's in the off season, I think he really, really dedicated himself to becoming a better route runner. You know, in high school he was mostly running back, some wide receiver. That's why we weren't surprised with, you know, everybody. The big plays really came for Christian in the return game or in screen game stuff where he made people miss or returns and things like that, or just straight, you know, take off and outrun you type deals. So he's really worked at understanding defenses. I think he's really, really worked at his route running to become a more of a receiver than just a fly sweep, put it in my hands kind of guy, even though he's really good at that. And we're never going to not do that with him, but you know, for his professional development and what he's doing to become a better player, he's worked real hard at his route running. I think it's starting to show. You know, he's a great teammate. He's a great guy off the field that does all the things to take care of himself, to prepare physically and mentally, you know, like a professional player. And then besides that, he's also a really good guy and is always around with the young guys and in recruiting and, you know, wanting to get other really good players here to play with. So, you know, he's another guy in this team right now that's in a good place, that wants to be better than he is, but also has the ability to bring other people along with him.